Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us, hanging out. Don's here.
I'm here.
Ava's here.
I'm here as well.
We are here. And hey, guess what it is outside? It's dark. Yep, it's dark. Early morning, dark. Gotta love that, don't you, Don?
Yes, well, at least the weather's turning for us.
But you know what? We are on our way back up. We're not going to be dark. We're going to be dark less and less in the mornings, which is good.
Right.
So we like that. Big show coming up for you guys. Lots of cool stuff to talk about. 15 best winter fishing destinations. If you don't want to be around here in winter and you want to go to someplace fun, check that out. That and more coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to be with you guys one more time. Click it in the clock.
One more time.
One more shot.
For 2022?
For
2022.
Last of 2022.
I know. Good Christmas?
Yeah.
Ava?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Didn't have to go far. And I've got another one in 2 weeks, and then I'm done.
I'm all done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
That sounds nice.
Had all the little kitties. Well, we went over to my daughter's, and all the little kitties were there, and had a nice day.
Wrapping paper everywhere.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Some of them like the boxes better, you know.
No, I get it. That's
so
fun.
My nephew, a few years ago, so Amazon boxes, they're just brown boxes. It doesn't tell you what it is. If he opened a present that was just a brown box, it's a box. Oh, it's a box. And it's like, dude, you got to open the box, but it doesn't have a picture of what it is,
oh,
you know?
Sure.
So he was...
He thought he got a box.
Yeah.
He all finally figured it out.
It's a box.
Brown boxes aren't just brown boxes anymore.
Well, he's 8 now, so he gets it.
He gets it figured out. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, Christmas is good. I just kind of hung out, and when it's multi below zero, what else is there to do?
Right.
Yeah,
I was going to go skiing, but they shut down the ski areas, so that was bad. I was going to go snowshoeing, and I thought, well, that's a little cold.
I will say we had a little bit of an eventful start to Christmas morning. Because we're going over to my daughter's, and she calls me at 8 o'clock. She goes, "What's the worst thing you think could happen, Dad?"
The oven broke.
No, the furnace.
Oh.
Great.
But, you know, within an hour, my son-in-law had it running.
There you go.
There you have it.
Yep.
Nice.
It was kind enough to have a local furnace guy dropped off a part for us, and away we went.
Nice. Nothing wrong with that. Well, I'll tell you what. It, you know, it's a tale of two cities. You know, you've got 1 week that can be multi below zero, and the next week it gets to be above zero pretty quick. So
right.
The fluctuations are a welcome part of what we live through in the winter up here.
Unless you're ice fishing.
Yeah. Well, now the DNR is warning, because of all the heavy snow,
right,
to be extremely careful, because the ice is not safe in a lot of areas. So check your local resorts if you go out ice fishing. And make sure that ice is going to be safe, because that snow is really pushing down on those ice mats. So, not good. One thing, I was just talking to a couple of buddies that they spend hours and hours of time on the ice. And one of the things they'd said that they've been doing recently is they're dead sticking, but then just twisting the line in their fingers.
Oh, sure.
And then letting it go, and then it reverses. So the bait will spin under the water.
Right.
And very surprised. They said it was really cool, because it took a bait that was not moving vertically and changed it to a
rotational movement, and it triggered fish.
Are they using like a jigging wrap?
No. Oh. Smaller jig, smaller stuff.
Okay.
You know, like a smaller stuff with maybe waxy or whatever on it.
Oh, sure.
And then the other thing was they went from either a vertical bait to a horizontal bait. So it's line attachment points in the center. So
yeah, sure.
A different look to it. So definitely worked pretty darn well. So, but yeah, keep that in mind. Be safe out there and change it up a little bit. Don't be afraid to dead stick. I was very surprised that last year, I haven't been out yet this year, but last year went out and then moving it versus dead stick side by side, dead stick just crushed. So,
really?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, they say sometimes they're not looking for a lot of movement.
Nope. Sometimes they're on the negative side of the fence. On the positive side, though, positive side of the fence, you're just talking off air. You're giving me crap. Normally, I'm the one that brings up Michaela Schifrin from the U.S. One of the she will be the most decorated downhill skier in history.
Eventually,
yeah.
Well, she's only like what, six races, six wins from the record.
I think it's close to it. Yeah. So just got her 78th World Cup win, and in GS, another one. Which she's very good. She's basically the own slalom. Vilhova is another one that will be battling her for the overall title, World Cup. But you were watching at 3 a.m. in an insomnia night. You gave me crap. Did you see your race? I said, no, I didn't see your race. So in this particular case, it's a GS race. So, I mean, it's a larger shape turns than slalom, which is the tightest of the courses with breakaway gates. And then the GS, it's two gates with a panel across the top. And that's what she was racing in this event. Your comment was rather interesting. So you saw the pre-race scenario. What did you think of that?
Well, I mean, it's interesting watching how all these athletes prepare themselves for an event like this. You know, I mean, they got to gear themselves up psychologically and mentally for about a little over a 1 minute exercise. I mean, that's
minute and a half. Yep.
Well, they were there at a minute 5 seconds.
Yep.
is where she came down on the very first run, but all of the different ways they prepare. Some are mentally doing it with their eyes closed. Some of them
visualizing the course through their mind.
Yep. She was just doing exercises, kind of just loosening up.
Well, it's from my standpoint, having done a lot of racing, not ever at that level by any means, but having coaching kids that are. Hoping to achieve that level, and when you look at what they do as far as looking at a course and reviewing a course, you slide the course and look at the course. Then when they're standing up the top, their eyes are closed and they're watching their hands going like they're imagining it going through the course.
Right,
pretty incredible, and to have that level of detail. And of course, the big thing, and your comment was, what's the difference? It's how they carry speed. And it's how they shape their turn that allows them to accelerate and really push themselves to get that advantage. And it's tenths of a second, hundreds of a second.
Yeah, if you're interested, you can usually catch them in the middle of the night because that's when they're skiing over in Europe.
Yep.
And if they're carrying it live, it's
DVR.
Like I said, I don't know how many skiers are in that, but it doesn't take them long. They're doing the second run 2 hours later, so each skier's. They don't waste more than 2 minutes per skier total from start to one to the next.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's kind of fun to watch. They're fast.
No, it's a pretty neat deal. Well, hang tight. We've got some fun stuff to cover and something about a bird lover's application to try. Stay tuned. More on that coming up. Check us out, please. Facebook, where else, Don?
Yeah,
thevalleyoutdoors.com. Nice place to go check things out. And if you're wondering what's coming up in any DNR related event or season or whatever, you'll find it right there.
Anything you want to know about the outdoors,
yep.
By state,
it'll be there.
Go to the map, click on the state, and you'll be going right to there.
It'll be there, which
their
is cool.
Their website, yeah.
So looking through the vast interweb and noticed a neat thing coming out of the UK, and it's available anywhere you want to have it. It's an app for bird lovers, and you've talked about that before,
yep.
Having some, some stories on this, and I thought I might throw this in. What they wanted to do was get people outside and get them involved in the outdoors. So doesn't have to be an avid bird watcher to do this. So they came up with an app, and it's pretty neat. Why did they do it? Well, they noticed since the pandemic, interest has taken off and more people wanting to get outside and more wanting to spend more time. They also documented that the bird feeders and bird seeds sales increased 50% during the pandemic.
Oh, sure.
Makes sense. People want to have, if they're inside, they like to be able to.
Yeah, I keep my feeders full. It's great to see the cardinals. And
yep. And they said it's just nice, happy to have. They said they mentioned the correlation between spending time outside was also an improvement in mental health. Some users have reported that the app has helped improve their mood by motivating outdoor movement and built-in incentives to go along with it. So kind of an interesting concept. The functionality, it's kind of a, they call it a niche social network. It taps into the user's locations to target local reserves and bird species in the area. It allows a bird watcher to narrow down areas where there are birds that they haven't seen yet. So what it can do, it's called BIRDA, B-I-R-D-A, and what it does is it helps identify the species of birds that users have spotted while recording it in the app. So you're going to be able to see what people have seen in the general area. You'll know what species are there, so you can document it and have photos and everything else. So they'll actually, if you take a photo of a bird, they'll help identify the bird.
Is this a free app?
Yeah.
It is. I'll be downloading it.
They're also motivated by app incentives, such as badges for completing monthly challenges, as well as keeping up with their days wild count or consecutive days spent outside in nature. And, you know, there's a fishing app, the same kind of thing. I can't remember the name exactly offhand, but what it does is allows you to record fishing. It's like, hey, I caught 8 fish today or 10 fish today. People, you know, like to share
a log.
That, yeah, and it helps give you an idea what's going on. Of course, I'm a little bit more secretive about that, so I don't.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Either you people know, like to birds, share though. Or they like to keep it a secret.
Right.
You know where they started this out? This is the.
I don't know.
I'm glad you asked. Do you like how I did that? Obsessive compulsive or something like that. I don't know. They actually were in South Africa and they used it to spot leopards in various areas and other animals and started to expand on it. And they thought, well, what would be the best way to do it? Well, obviously we're not going to try to find cougars or leopards. So let's find something that's a little less dangerous to locate. And
for the general public.
For the general public. Yeah. And that's what it ended up being.
I'm waiting for the app to come out and show us how we get rid of that bird that sits on my feeder. It's got the long furry tail.
Oh,
Don,
yeah.
What are the best ways to remove them?
I have a way.
I'm talking legal.
I am too. It's called peanut butter.
Yeah?
Snap trap.
Oh, well, you'll have to share that with me. And it works?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You talk about Mr. Success with squirrels. Yeah, we don't want to go there.
That's why I started doing this.
Oh.
I wasn't. I'm not gonna. No, it's all out war. No, Mr. Red Squirrel.
What I finally did is I have a fur.
I feel like Bill Murray.
On my Caddyshack. Second level of my house is where we have our bird feeder hanging. I have it right underneath the eave. And the squirrels, I could sit in my chair and I'd hear a thump on the roof. They were climbing up a tree and dropping down onto the roof. I could hear them hit the roof. Then they would climb over the
eave or the
eave,
gutter, yeah,
the gutter, and drop down onto the feeder and start dining. Well, they would just jump right back up to the roof if you went over to get them off. So I put an extension on the feeder about 2 feet, and I haven't seen one yet. So I'm hoping that works.
Have you seen the one where that
catapult?
Spins them around?
Oh, like, I saw that one.
Yeah,
did
that
you see
one's
the
hilarious.
Did you see the catapult?
No.
Oh, I've seen that. That's pretty funny.
Oh, it's the most awesome thing ever. Yeah. They actually have a position where the squirrel would get onto this arm.
Right.
It originally wasn't an arm at the time when they would climb up. So they just added the arm. And then as soon as a squirrel gets on there, the button gets pushed and it's a flying squirrel now.
See, yeah. Our feeder is off of our clothesline. So my sister got me a squirrel baffle so that they can't climb up the pole.
Right.
And it works great.
Yeah.
I haven't had any issues.
Okay.
So.
They'll figure it out, though.
No, they haven't. It's been years.
Oh, well.
So.
You maybe have the answer then.
Maybe.
One other thing before we take off of this story, I thought was kind of cool is the fact that the app, the Berta app, it actually, the information is shared with researchers across the globe. And even though the average Joe is out there trying to do whatever and log the data, once it's been cleaned, it is useful for scientists. So that's one of those things that really, how you link pieces and parts together can be kind of cool, considering how many people are out there
right,
and really working at that side of the fence.
So I will say in the last month, we have seen one bird that showed up at our feeder that we've never seen before.
Did you look it up and find out what it was?
No, we didn't at the time, and I wish I would have. But we have that happen every year where there's something unusual. Well, there was a European something showed up, and they show up in little flocks, like six, seven birds. And they will practically empty your feeder in a matter of minutes.
Did you guys notice how many robins are still around?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe really? In your neighbor of the woods.
Like, well, maybe. But I mean, around Christmas, I had just like 15 robins in my backyard.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you guys, it is freezing. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
Stop Go
it.
Away.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no exposed grass or anything. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
A little early. Premature. Need to have his head examined. Tell you what, we're going to be right back. We're going to be talking about the 15 best winter fishing destinations. And I think you're going to want to listen to this. Kind of cool. Hang right in.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Well, Don, the many friends of mine that enjoy fishing in the summer months, comes to winter and a lot of them don't ice fish, they don't like it. What do they want to do? Head south.
Well, head to soft water.
Or east, east coast.
Wherever the water's soft.
Yep, yeah. Softer. It's kind of tough to fish from a boat when the water's hard.
Right.
You kind of back it in one way, you control one direction.
I was just talking to a gentleman the other day. He says, "How come you don't ice fish?" I said, "It's just too hard to troll."
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Got to use a chainsaw, cut the hole. It sucks.
It's bad. By the time I get a slot cut in the ice,
it takes
it's
forever.
In the wrong place.
And then by the time you get to the other end and you troll back, it's already froze over.
Well, no, trust me, the fish have moved on.
They're not where you want them to be. It's like ice fishing.
It's just too hard.
I think I'm ADD when I go ice fishing. Yeah. I punch a hole.
There's guys that love it.
They got to be
God
over there.
God bless them.
Yeah, no question about it. I got some friends that give me crap about it, but yeah, definitely. But winter fishing destinations, if you do want to get out, I've got a list compiled, 15 best
fishing. You better hustle if you're going to get through 15 of them.
Hey, that's easy. Venice, Louisiana. Been there. You ever been there?
Venice, Louisiana. Well, I'm not even sure where that is. I don't
Venice
where Louisiana
is right
is.
Down at basically the mouth of the Mississippi River.
Yes,
it's right
I have
down,
been there.
All the way down the end of the pipe, as they say.
Yep. Out in the bios or the...
Yeah. And amazing redfish fishing. And
that's what we were after, but all we got was sea trout.
We had a ton of them. We were pre-fishing for an FLW redfish event with a friend of mine, helping him pre-fish, and it was awesome. Amazing place to go.
Yep.
Weather, beautiful. Next place, Cotter, Arkansas. You ever been there?
Yeah. Well, I've been to Arkansas on the White River.
The White River.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I fished the White River.
Yep. Fished it and used little black jigs from that, one of my favorite things to fish. Caught a couple massive trout, but had fun. We had probably caught 40-some fish in a day. That was pretty cool.
We were fishing Bull Shoals for a day, and then we fished the White River for another day.
Home of Ranger Boats?
I think April.
Yeah, home of Ranger Boats and Vexus Boats right down there.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're both within a mile of each other.
It's really pretty country.
It is. Lots of hills. Don't plan on doing anything down there if you get a snowstorm.
No.
You can't go anywhere.
Right.
They don't have enough plows and salt trucks to cover anything. Oh. It's crazy. Wait till it melts. That's what they do. Wait till it melts. So kind of cool. Pulaski, New York. You never would have thought about this. It can be harsh in winter, but one of the cool things is the rivers still flow, and they have an amazing, amazing steelhead bite.
Yeah, never been there.
That's a great place to go. Lake Champlain.
That's out in New York, too.
Yep, exactly. This one happens to be through the ice. You'd have firm water here, Don.
Yeah.
So
no.
That one's for trout and pike. How about Key West? Does that work for you?
Yeah, that might.
Wahoo, at this time of year, they're on fire. So if you're planning to fish, got to do multiple days because it can be windy. And if it's windy, you're not going to be going out into the abyss. You'll be doing some inshore type scenarios. So that's one of those things to check out. Miami, Florida. Peacock Bass. Yep.
In Miami?
Mm-hmm. All the canals and lakes and ponds just west of the city, they're full of it, South American native species. Yep.
Huh.
Yep.
I didn't think of that.
They're very aggressive.
Oh, yeah.
And so it definitely says bring a reel with a quality drag on it.
Right.
For sure. Niagara River, New York. Steelhead, brown trout, and lake trout. Somewhere to check out. Kind of cool. James River in Virginia. If you like big catfish, Don, I know how you love catfish.
Right.
You know, get on those.
Yeah.
Whiskers. Meow, meow, meow. Baffin Bay, Texas. Speckled trout.
I've never fished there. I've been down to Galveston area in that area, but I've never fished there.
And in a lot of these places, what I'd recommend if you do go down to these areas, if you're not familiar with it, get a guide for a day and have them get you tuned
in. When I went to Louisiana, we did that.
Yep. Lake Okeechobee, Florida, did a couple TV shows down there with a good friend of mine. You want to catch about big
bass,
big,
large amount,
10-pound bass. Yeah. I actually caught a 11-1 in a pond right behind where we're staying.
Yeah, it's interesting. Connected to interesting the way they fish for them with balloons.
We're casting.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, because they use these big, they'll get big shad. Big shad.
Right.
And then you throw it out and they'll use bobbers.
Right.
And what's funny is I was watching these guys fish that way. You love this. So bobber fishing is just normally like the bobber goes down and it's kind of, okay, the bobber's down, you get excited.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This one, when you see a 10-inch shad coming out of the water and then this bass
is after it.
That's 11 pounds is chasing it out of the water. It is the most unbelievable, exciting, cool thing you've ever done in your life.
Yeah.
I've never this. These 11-pound bass is a monstrous fish. The mouth is even bigger. When it comes out of the water with its mouth open chasing this shad, it is amazing. So, pretty cool deal. North Dakota, Devil's Lake.
Walleye. Not this time of year.
Hey, walleye and yellow perch.
Yeah.
I have to throw these in, Don. Yeah. You know,
the Perch Express.
Perch Patrol, those guys up there, the Perch Patrol guys, absolutely outstanding. At a Woodland Resort, great place to stay. Had to get that plug in, good friends of mine up there. But 180,000 acre lake, the perch are outstanding.
Yep.
And they'll get you on those fish. I recommend up there, just stay at a resort, get the guides booked and have them take you out. And then give you at least a feel for what's going on because it's not easy to get out there and you can get stuck in some bad situations. So, San Diego, California.
Been there.
Rockfish, yellowtail, and halibut. Count me in for sure. So,
and halibut?
Yep. The numbers are absolutely, they've grown huge since the 70s. And it's been nothing but fantastic. I talked to two guys with Charo. They put some Charo props on their boats, and they went out tuna fishing. Some of the guys went 100 miles, but they're getting the big ones. They're getting 200 to 300 pound tuna.
Wow.
Yeah. So pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Moving on, number 13, the New River in Virginia for muskie. If you want to go out muskie fishing, you can definitely do that this time of year. So that's definitely a 12-inch fly and a 12-weight fly rod. They're doing a lot of fly fishing out there for them, and that is cool. The South Holston River in Tennessee, kind of not a long travel, but nice place to go check it out. It's Bluff City, Tennessee, northeast to South Holston Lake, and it's a tailwater fed from the discharge to the bottom of the lake. Higher temperature in winter, tons of vegetation, insects, freshwater shrimp.
What are you fishing for?
Trout.
Okay.
So, yeah, pretty cool. Fly rod, you can use nymphs. And, yeah, just kind of a neat deal all the way around. So, kind of fun. What do you think about that, Don?
Well, you know, if I was going to head out to do a little saltwater fishing this time of year, I would probably do the Arkansas thing.
It's awesome.
You know, for being in the Midwest, you can travel down there in a day pretty easy.
Yeah, about 11-hour drive.
Yep. And it's amazing how the weather can temperature-wise changes. I mean, when we were there, it was in the 50s, low 60s, I think, during the day. And we did the float thing down the White River. It was really kind of a hoot. They do a little shore lunch on the side of the
Nothing wrong with that.
So it was fun.
No, very cool. Well, get out there, enjoy the outdoors. It's going to be a great week, and always try some different sports you haven't done before.
Get some fresh air.
You got it. For the Valley Outdoors, for Eric, Don, and Ava, we are out of here. Join us next week. We'll be here. See ya.